The lovely Wendy Chamberlain from Chamberlain Property Advocates. She's on the phone now. And good afternoon, Wendy. How are you?
Hi, Vilma. I am very well. I am over the sticky, humid heat, though.
Oh, terrible. I saw your little page on Instagram and I thought, wow, yes, it's one of those days. So how is your hair going?
My hair's still all furry. I went out. You know, we had the rain come through yesterday and it bucketed and I was in the yard. So it went from being all curly floppy to straight wet, drenched floppy. But now it's all curly again.
Yes. As I was telling you, I've got it at the back of my neck. So I'm sure a lot of women are feeling the same thing as well. So it's not just you and I. Absolutely. Now, I was going to ask you just very quickly, the Melbourne Network brunch with the lovely Geraldine Rimmer, the Women's Network Australia. Tell us just very quickly about that and what's it all about.
Yes, that's very exciting, Vilma. Women's Network Australia will be in Melbourne and I'm hosting a networking brunch for them on Tuesday the 25th of March. It's going to be at the Deck in Brighton and it's from 10 till 12. And we are going to have a guest speaker, Geraldine, who is going to talk about trademarks and protecting your IP in business.
Oh, absolutely. That's so important. Yes. Well, that's going to be a very, very interesting topic. What time does it start?
It starts at 10 a.m. down in Brighton.
Okay. And how are tickets going for that?
Going well. So if people, if they're interested, they can go to the website womensnetwork.com.au and they can find their tickets there.
Oh, absolutely. Well, that's absolutely fantastic. Well, we've got to thank you for that. I greatly appreciate it because we do need to be very vigilant these days. And as women are using more and more and more computers, just like the guys, we need to protect our species, I suppose, in that way. Now, I was going to tell us about the auction clearance and the outlook for 2025 because I think this is our first interview for the year. Would that be right? Yeah.
It is our first interview for the year. We're already, 6 weeks in already. So the market has started up again. There was a bit of a hiatus over the Christmas New Year break when everybody took some time out with family and so forth. But auctions have started again and the clearance rates are, what are we at, 66% on the weekend. That was against 748 auctions. So, look, it's a pretty good litmus test. When you've got 748 auctions and your clearance rate is at 66%. So we are still sitting into a buyer's market, I like to say. As we were coming into the end of last year, Christmas, et cetera, it very much was a buyer's market and there was lots of opportunities around. What I think and see happening as we move into 2025, the buyers seem to be more confident and have be more active out there. And so I think everybody's sitting there with bated breath to see what the RBA is going to do with interest rates. Because if interest rates do get cut, I think lots of people are going to go, right, let's do it. And they're going to jump back into the market and look to be buying properties.
So you're actually looking at a fairly good year this year for 2025?
Well, I reckon because every single year market, et cetera, is always different because you've always got little bits and pieces that are different coming into the mix. So we certainly at the moment are facing a cost of living crisis and many people are really keeping a tight rein on their spending insofar as the cost of food, the cost of insurance, cost of petrol, all of these things that many of us have to be using every day. And then you're throwing into the mix of whether or not they're going to make a decision around buying a property, and that for most people is going to entail taking on a mortgage, which is why everybody is really hoping that there is an interest rate cut coming up. I think they're meeting next week. So we will see. And certainly if they don't do it next week, they're probably likely to look at it again in March. I think that's going to be a big driving factor on what happens with the market in 2025 because the month of January, Melbourne is down 0.6%. And then for the quarter, we're down 2%. And over the past 12 months, we dropped 3.3%. And that's like average across all of Melbourne. But as we know, there's over 330 suburbs. So each does its own thing. Each is like its own little micro, you know, organism, economic type of situation.
Mm.
So no single suburb or council is ever really doing the same thing as another area.
Mm.
So in through the inner north, I think things have fared fairly well. But I have heard in talking to people and agents down Bayside and certainly Mornington was not doing very well at all in the lead up to the end of last year. So it really will be a case of let's watch and see. I personally think if and when they do drop interest rates, that buyer confidence will kick off and the market will kick along. Because end of the day, people still have to, there's always death, divorce, people outgrow their homes.
It's always evolving, isn't it?
Well, that's right. People get older, the homes are too big, they downsize. People have young families that grow, they need to upsize. There's first home buyers are quite active out there at the moment. But let's see.
Yes, look, I wanted to ask you, though, in my travels, I've noticed there are a lot of billboards up for properties for sale. That's just my observation. It's not as if I'm like, you know, going, oh, well, you know, I'm going to check the place out and see how many houses are up for sale. But just in one street alone, which wasn't a very long street, there was probably about four houses up for sale in the same street.
I think everybody listening will have that observation. There's definitely more sales boards on properties right across Melbourne. I've noticed it as well. And I believe that is a direct correlation to the taxes that have been constantly and continually applied by the government in relation to being a landlord, being a rental provider, because a lot of those properties are investment properties and they're being put up for sale. And you're seeing homes in areas that are really streets that are tightly held, the properties are coming up for sale.
Yes.
And that is a direct reason why. Land tax is a big one, but there's all these other expenses now, and the changes to the rental requirements are also a huge factor that are playing into the decision-making for someone that is owning a property that is an investment for them and they've rented it out, and the cost of things now. So with these rental reforms, for example, to bring a property up to the standard that the government has now dictated, many long-term landlords, rental providers, deciding, do we spend thousands of dollars to spend on the property to bring it up to this standard that is now required, or do we just sell it? And many of them are saying, we're just going to sell it because they don't have the time, money, inclination, all the things. It's easier for them to just go, no, we're done, we're out of here.
A very good dear friend of mine that I've known for well over 40 years bought a few properties in her time and obviously wanted to use it as her nest eggs as she retires. But with all the taxes that have come out, she said, that's it, I'm selling some of the properties, I don't need to go through this. And and mind you, she's got an excellent job. But she just said, no, I don't need the pressures because I thought in my time when I bought these properties that these will be my nest eggs, not knowing that I've got these big outlays and I have to actually recuperate that from my tenants.
That's right.
Yes.
We're hearing that a lot, that people like that have owned a property for some time, it's their nest egg, they've worked really hard to be able to afford and buy these properties, but they are reliant on that additional little bit of income from the renters, from the rent coming in, and where it has, the scale has tipped, and so the cost of owning the property now and what you're required to spend on the property to maintain it has made it unfeasible for many people, like your friend, and they go, well, why do I need the angst? It's just too much. And in many cases, we're also hearing now that they're actually going backwards on the properties.
Yes.
So they have to sell them because they can't afford them. And I think there's a misnomer out there, particularly amongst renters, but in the community, that some people think that because someone has a rental property and they're renting it out, that they're this massive squillionaire with all this money. And it's not the case at all.
No. And I think, you know, I've been thinking about this and I'm going to say it, but if you've noticed, Wendy, all the major retails, and I think you'd know who they are, the major retail, especially in fashion, they're all closing down, even Rivers. A lot of businesses are closing down. And it was only this week, actually, another giant retailer are closing. They've gone into administration. And I just feel like writing something on Facebook, whatever. Uh-huh. What in the hell is going on? And we need to know why these people are going out of business, even small business, hospitality, and now we're hit with real estate. I mean, you get a tenant in and they're paying rent and the landlord is, you know, got all these hefty taxes that needs to pay. So the tenant has to pay for that. And what's he going to say? I can't afford it. I've got to go.
Well, that's the thing, because there have been a raft of reforms that have been pushed through for quite a few years now, and the government's come out last year and talking about the latest changes, which is that they're going to ban no fault and no ground evictions. And look, it's become inequitable. It's very much swung towards the rights of the renter and not the rights of the person that owns the property.
Correct. It's always been that way, though.
Well, and end of the day, it's an investment. It's an investment vehicle. And in my opinion, the government shouldn't be dipping their little paws into people's decision-making about what they do with their assets and their investments.
Yeah, absolutely. And, they've, you know, everyone works hard in this country. We're not a country of bludgers. And we do work very, very hard for our bickies. Well, look, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. And please, if anyone does have any issues, I'm sure Wendy will be able to, you know, have a look at that, and she'd be more than pleased to assist. And you can go to inquire@chamberlainadvocates, all one word, of course, .com.au, and look her up on the web, and you'll be pleasantly surprised. And thank you so much.